يهدي العواطف في بيوت الميجانة.
يا ميجانة ويا يا ميجانة ويا يا ميجانة حنوا بجود عن طائفة
يا نفسي بالكرم اصغي وجودي تخلد للورى عزة وجودي إلى وعلي سهل أمور الصعاب يا بن يا يا من سواك بالهوى ما لي سبيل مر على عين يرضي الطياب سبيل غيري عن رب عمدناك إسابي أنت وأنا يفنى الهوى من بعدنا غرامك مهجتي وعطفك سبيلي وعلى ربعك أنا جعل سبيلي لأجلك هجرت أهلي والصحاب.
You are listening to the voice of well, this is Ren Tawil speaking directly to you now. The singer is Danny Thomas. Whew. who performed as a singer widely for the Arab American community. Although this record, made in 1952, is his only recording of Arab music. This is Danny Thomas, the late, great actor, comedian, and singer of Arab folk songs. The proceeds from this record, as well as from the numerous haflas, or performance-oriented parties, presented by Thomas, benefited St. Jude Hospital Foundation, which has become one of the most important institutions in the world for the research and treatment of children's diseases. Known by mainstream, quote-unquote, America, only as a comedian and actor, Thomas continued to sing Arabic songs in cameo and guest performances. Had to stop the music there. Until just a few months before his death in 1991. How about that? Here, Thomas sings a medley of Lebanese folk songs, beginning with the ever-popular Lebanese genres Mijana and Ataha. Thomas is supported by the capable oud playing of Tufik Baram, an active performer throughout this century, whose lovely Takasim in Majam Bayati finishes off the performance. Based in a tradition of improvised sung poetry that dares back perhaps hundreds of years, the genres Mijana and Ataha have enjoyed tremendous staying power and are still popular among contemporary Lebanese audiences throughout the diaspora. And of course they're referring at least mainly to the Arabic diaspora, only a part of which was caused by forced emigration of Arabs. Admittedly, piece of music is taken from the Music of Arab Americans, a retrospective collection, 1997, Rounder Records Corporation, Cambridge, Massachusetts. This is Mideast Madness. I'm Ren Tawil. A couple of quick commercials here. As ever, and as just about everyone else around is begging at your door for, we need donations, any amount. $5 would be happily accepted to keep us going well beyond the month of January, it looks like now. We've had our troubles, including the current standing necessity of having to move our studio to a cheaper location. Please contribute as little or as much, as often as you can, even once. $5, believe me, it'll make a difference. We programmers pay dues for the privilege of programming here. We pay money to the Free Radio Collective. You pay the rest. We really appreciate it. Send your donations to FRSC, as in Free Radio Santa Cruz, Post Office Box 7811-95061. And, of course, that's in Santa Cruz, California, 95061. And speaking of the necessity of our moving, we simply need a new studio. And, of course, the real singular reason for it, the one reason to speak of, is we cannot afford much longer to pay the current rent. We want to pay to 300, preferably less, but we cannot pay more than 300, any more than the amount we're paying now. A location near downtown of plus or minus 150 square feet. We need 24-hour access for a 24/7 service. We need a bathroom. Not that I need one now, but we need a bathroom. Utilities hopefully will be included. We don't want to pay a parking tax. It needs to be secure, dry, etc. I'll have to research what the etc. means at a later date. Let us know if you come across roughly 150 square feet for around $300 a month or less. Contact Free Radio Santa Cruz. Go to our website at Free Radio Santa Cruz, which is actually www.freakradio.org. And if you happen to be hearing us on your old-fashioned radio right now, you can pick up the program streaming at this moment at freakradio.org. Scroll down and click on the red oval on top of the tower as our radio transmission power is quite limited, pretty much only to the environs of the city of Santa Cruz. You might get a better signal if you have your pewter with you and go to freakradio.org. Here are the phone numbers. At the very least, grab a pen and piece of parchment and write down area code 831-427-3772. I'm not speaking choppily because not because I think I'm speaking to morons or anything. I'm concerned about breakup of the signal, and I'm just trying to enunciate the numbers as I enunciate my words without being too choppy, singularly, so you catch each one. Again, the line one to the studio is 831-427-3772. Line two, for you to be live on the radio as well, is 469-3119, 469 3119. Okay. I am a Palestinian American, more commonly referred to and viewed as an Arab American, or an American Arab for those who are a little more hard-headed about being immediately patriotic. Some don't want to use the word Palestinian at all. I consider myself to be a Palestinian Arab American. How's that? And as you can imagine, I grew up with a lot of propaganda. Because there's a lot of you out there who'll insist upon calling it propaganda anyway. I just assume get rid of that word, because everyone has their propaganda. I grew up with the influence of the Palestinian Arab side of the story in terms of the Middle East conflict. And that will definitely be reflected over the next 40-odd minutes. I read this last week. I'll do it again. This is a letter to the editor to Time Magazine, a recent edition of Time Magazine. It's from someone named Musa Musley of Orland Park, Illinois. Israeli airstrikes. Regarding Carl Vick's story, The Gaza Problem, December 3. The first thing to clarify is that this is not a Palestinian versus Zionist problem or a Muslim versus Jew problem, but a struggle between right and wrong. The people in Gaza are being denied basic human rights that are spelled out in international law, and that Israel is refusing to comply with. The first additional protocol to the Geneva Convention, specifically, gives people under foreign occupation the right to use armed forces to resist and fight against racist regimes. Well, Mr. Musley obviously has some fixed ideas of what rights certain people have, and which are the racist regimes. To me, he is defending the use of rockets fired from Gaza to Israel. I am not at the point where I think that the rockets are a valid thing to do. It is a form of violence that the Gazans, in my opinion, would do best to subside from, not do anymore. And certainly the violence perpetrated against Palestinian Arabs in the Gaza Strip by the Israeli occupation forces, the IOF, they're both wrong. They're both counterproductive. But the point he is making here, when he talks about human rights being spelled out in international law. International law refers to, of course, the Geneva Convention and also tenets of the United Nations regarding the Israel-Palestine situation. Okay, let's move along here. There is a product which we in America call SodaStream. Well, the name has been given to us from the manufacturers or their agents. It's a fizzy water maker for the home or office. And it comes from an Israeli settlement, Jews only in these settlements. I don't have the name of it in front of me, but there's a large industrial park there which manufactures SodaStream and markets it here in the U.S. What they don't tell you, at least I've never heard this come from any advertisers of SodaStream, is the reminder that all Israeli settlements, and certainly their Israeli settlement, are illegal under international law. It's moving citizens onto militarily occupied land, strictly forbidden by UN and Geneva Convention. They have been since 1967 when they started up, and these settlements are expanding and expanding deliberately with two purposes in mind. One, to expand the Jewish and Israeli presence throughout occupied West Bank, and at the same time, rather unremarkably, to diminish the Palestinian population. They're trying, most definitely, deliberately trying to squeeze them out, force them out of their homes. And as these settlements expand, they continue to steal land and water and resources from the Palestinians, which they have been doing steadily since 1967. The Palestinians don't get any profit whatsoever from this sale of SodaStream. They're not involved in it because they are not even considered important. They're not even considered like they're there by the settlers. And, while these settlers may say, well, they're not making SodaStream. Well, that's right. The Israelis were squatting on Arab land, which is not theirs, and stealing land and resources and water from the Palestinians. They are the ones who are making it. So do not buy SodaStream. It is available here in Santa Cruz County, California, USA. SodaStream is a mistake. It's illegal, manufactured illegally, and if you buy it, you, in effect, regardless of what you think or what you know about the Middle Eastern conflict, you, in effect, are supporting Israeli colonialism, which should be anachronistic in this century, 21st century. It should have been back in the 20th century when it started, before the first half of the 20th century was even completed. Do not buy SodaStream. Now that you have your paper and pencil and parchment and all that, I'll repeat those phone numbers. Area code 831-427-3772. Second line is 469-3119. I'm quite sure the phones will work this time. You may call me at any point. You don't have to wait for me to finish a bit, a segment, or a piece that I'm reading from. Oh, folks, it's 4:22 already. Just a little over a half an hour to go. Let me put this out to you now. Is it true that the Jews control the world? Or that the Jews are trying to control the world? Have they ever controlled it? Have they ever attempted to control it? I must tread very carefully here, because I know just saying these words steps on a lot of people's sensitivities out there. Perhaps I should say, is Israel trying to control the world or trying to control the U.S. legislative processes? Is this a Zionist plot to control things beyond the borders of Israel? Alison Weir is the president of the Council for the National Interest, a former journalist and the founder of If Americans Knew, a nonprofit organization that focuses on the Israel-Palestine conflict, specializing in statistical analysis. Weir writes and speaks widely about Israel-Palestine, with particular focus on media coverage. Her articles on the subject have been published in anthologies both in the United States and abroad, and in diverse online and print publications. Ms. Weir has given talks at numerous universities, including Harvard Law School, Stanford, University of California, Berkeley, Yale, and Connecticut there, the Fletcher School of Law and Diplomacy, and the Naval Postgraduate Institute right here in Monterey County, just south of Santa Cruz County. That's the Naval Postgraduate Institute. Four times at the Asia Media Summit in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, and Beijing, China. Both of those cities, the capital of the respective countries, and has twice given briefings on Capitol Hill. Former U.S. Congressman Tom Campbell, Republican from California, said of her presentation, Ms. Weir presents a powerful, well-documented view of the Middle East today. She is intelligent, careful, and critical. American policymakers would benefit greatly from hearing her first-hand observations and attempting to answer the questions she poses. Okay, there's a little more to the bio there, but we shall let that go for the moment. From Counterpunch Publication, Counterpunch, December 6th of this year, 2012. It's entitled, The Empire Behind the World's Largest History Magazine Chain, or How American History Magazine Censored Palestine, by Alison Weir. Regarding the Wider History Group, that's W-E-I-D-E-R, History Group. It all started out simply enough. The nonprofit Council for the National Interest, of which I am president, recently tried to buy an advertisement in American History magazine. The ad was to promote a new book by CNI's founder. Again, CNI is Council for the National Interest. Its founder, former Congressman Paul Findlay, offering discounted copies through the CNI website. The book, Speaking Out, A Congressman's Lifelong Fight Against Bigotry, Famine, and War, is a fascinating memoir of Findlay's 9 decades of life. It describes his Depression-era childhood, World War II service in the South Pacific, experiences as an editor of a small-town Corn Belt newspaper, and 22 years as a congressman grappling with everything from farm issues to Vietnam to Israel-Palestine. The ad featured the cover of Findlay's book and 4 strong endorsements, including the following by Bill Moyers. There is a place in America called Findlay Country, inspired by its founding father. The people who live there cherish principle, politics, political courage, and speaking truth to power, even when it hurts. Paul has given us a lively recollection of a robust and honorable life in public service, grounded in a patriot's devotion to the country he loves. American History Magazine refused to run our advertisement. In fact, advertising director Julie Kirschenbaum gratuitously informed us that they would not publish it in any of the 10 other U.S. history magazines owned by the same company. She said that the chains Chief Executive Officer and publisher Eric Weider had personally made the decision. The reason? CNI is allegedly, quote, anti-Israel, end quote. In reality, CNI is a nonpartisan organization founded 20 years ago by highly principled former U.S. congressmen and diplomats. Our board members include several ambassadors. CNI provides in-depth, transparently sourced information on the history and current situation in Israel-Palestine, on U.S. Middle East policies, and on their impact on American citizens. In line with our mission to work for U.S. Middle East policies that serve the national interest, that represent the highest values of our founders and our citizens, and that work to sustain a nation of honor, decency, security, and prosperity. We oppose, CNI opposes, failed national policies that prolong the tragic violence in the Middle East, that place perceived Israeli interests over American ones, and that drain billions of U.S. dollars from the American economy. Forgive the slight redundancy there. Continuing, although many Americans are unaware of this, Americans are closely connected to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. We give well over $8 million per day to Israel, a state smaller than New Jersey. On average, Israeli receive 10,000 times more. Again, that's on average. Israelis receive 10,000 times more U.S. foreign aid per capita than other people throughout the world. And this costs us significantly more. Some analysts have placed the total cost at approximately $15 million per day, as opposed to the aforementioned $8 million per day. We feel that it is essential that Americans become thoroughly informed about this conflict, which has cost multitudes of lives and created potentially catastrophic instability in the Middle East for over 60 years. Yet, because the owners of what may be the world's largest publisher of history magazines are partial to Israel, readers of 11 key American history magazines will neither be permitted to read about Findlay's autobiography nor even see the CNI name. Troubled by this censorship, I phoned publisher Eric Weider to discuss his decision. When he failed to return my calls, I began to research his company. Who were the people deciding what information could or could not reach American history fans? And by the way, it is 4:30. That's 16:30 hours Pacific Standard Time. This is Free Radio Santa Cruz, broadcasting at 101.3 FM, streaming live at freakradio.org. Back to the article. Who are these people? While many people might picture the publishers of these magazines as scholars dedicated to the disinterested. While many people might picture the publishers of these magazines as scholars dedicated to the disinterested study of history, I discovered a very different situation. Instead, I found out that the magazines are part of a massive and lucrative empire, based on bodybuilding and related products, an empire that has been investigated and convicted for using false claims to sell potentially dangerous, quote, nutritional supplements, and for publishing, quote, obscene magazines run by powerful people with powerful friends in high places who've opposed the regulation of such supplements. not the profile readers might expect, though publisher Wider is now interviewed in the media as an expert on American history, one whose commentary supports the alleged necessity of American wars in the Middle East. Next section, the Wider History Group's 11 magazines. The entity known as the Wider History Group publishes several history-related websites and 11 magazines. America's Civil War, American History, Aviation History, Armchair General, British Heritage, Civil War Times, Military History, MHQ, the Quarterly Journal of Military History, Vietnam, Wild West, and World War II. All but one of these publications were originally independent magazines. Some of them are decades old. Civil War Times has been around for half a century. American History since the 1960s. I, for one, have heard of at least a couple of those. Some time ago. Anyway, in 2006, the Wider History Group took over them all, acquiring them from another magazine chain. Not everyone was pleased with the change. Civil War Times editor Chris Lewis eventually resigned over the new direction the magazines were taking. He circulated an email explaining why he had decided to leave. Quote, "I am a lifelong reader and care a great deal about this publication, which is why I cannot be a part of the new direction," quote unquote, that the magazines in this group are either already going in or will be going in soon. There is no respect here anymore for history, historians, or the core audience, end of quotation. Next section. The empire that owns American history. Don't forget you can call me at area code 831-427-3772 or same area code 4693119. Regardless of what you have to say, let's hear it. And let Santa Cruz County and the rest of the world, as it were, hear it. The Wider History Group's 11 mags... The empire that owns American history. The Wider History Group is a wholly owned subsidiary of Wider Health and Fitness Incorporated, which in turn is part of a larger, wider empire valued at $1 billion. The Widers were initially Canadian promoters who are known for largely creating the business of modern bodybuilding and its multitude of spin-off products. Brothers Ben and Joe Wider founded the empire 70 years ago. Ben later said that his original dream had been to be an architect, but that anti-Semitism had prevented this. Today, the principals are Joe Wider and Ben Wider's son, Eric. By the 1990s, the Wider Empire consisted of numerous brands and over 1,000 products. These include bodybuilding extravaganzas and competitions, a wide range of exercise equipment and purported body-enhancing devices, diverse publications, and a dazzling collection of, quote, fitness products and, quote, nutritional supplements, which is to say pills, powders, potions, and programs. The PPPP. The latter are a large part of the Wider Empire's money-making machine. They include weight gain products, weight loss products, muscle health products, etc. An example is Wider Body Shaper Diet and Energy Tablets, quote, for mental energy and thermogenesis. While many people purchase Wider products, and some may deliver fully on their extravagant promises, federal investigations have found that a number of them do not. Let me interrupt you by saying, what does this have to do with the Middle East? Well, again, I'm reminding you, we're talking about a situation which may describe Zionist influence, overly influential, in areas where it probably should not be nearly that influential. There's more to talk about. And the bodybuilding connection here, it's please bear with me here because there is something to say about it. Back to the article. Whiter merchandise has been the subject of a number of federal investigations, and Whiter companies have been found guilty of fraud on several occasions. The Whiters have worked to prevent legislation that would have further restricted the kinds of supplements sold by their companies. In the 1970s, U.S. postal officials found the Whiter company had engaged in false claims involving a number of its products. Slimmer Shake, also known as Whiter's Weight Loss Formula XR7, Slim Guard, Joe Whiter's Crash Weight Gain Formula No. 7, 5-Minute Waist Slimmer Plan, 5-Minute Body Shaper Plan, and Beauty Breast of Paris. Beauty Breast of Paris, a device which promised to enlarge breasts. In 1981, the FTC, that's the Federal Trade Commission in the United States, found the company had made fraudulent claims regarding its Slim Quick formula. The FTC also concluded that under some circumstances, the weight loss concoction could be significantly dangerous to health and required the company to add warning labels. In 1986, the FTC forced Whiter Health and Fitness Incorporated to refund the purchase price paid by those who bought its, quote, anabolic megapack, or its, quote, dynamic life essence pills. In 2000, Whiter Nutritional International settled an FTC complaint involving false claims for Fencal, PHENCAL, and was required to pay $400,000, a sum unlikely to have caused much pain to a billion-dollar operation. Next section, an empire built on bodybuilding. Again, please bear with me. We're going to make some connections here shortly. The foundation of the Whiter Empire was originally the business of bodybuilding, and this still remains a significant part of its focus. According to anthropologist Alan Klein, the Whiters own, quote, the largest conglomerate of bodybuilding products in the world. The Whiters founded the International Federation of Bodybuilders, IFBB, in 1946, and Joe Whiter has been called the czar of bodybuilding. In a 1998 book, former Mr. Universe Bob Parris stated that the Whiters control bodybuilding. Stated that the Whiters control bodybuilding, quote-unquote, control bodybuilding. To learn more about bodybuilding, see the montage at the IFBB Pro website, IFBB PRO website. As of this writing, the Whiter History magazines have a banner ad on the site. Again, this is an article first presented in Counterpunch on December 6th, a couple of weeks ago, written by Allison Weir. Paris writes that the Whiters would pressure the most promising young bodybuilders into signing contracts with them. Anyone who publicly criticized or questioned any of the policies of the IFBB or its officers, Paris wrote, could be suspended just for questioning policies. The officers seem to have mostly been the Whiters themselves or their friends. Bob Parris states, the Whiter brothers claim that the IFBB and the Whiter companies are separate and completely unrelated. Only the most naive fool would believe that. They should simply say that, yes, they are completely linked, but of course, if they did that, then nasty words like monopoly or conflict of interest would start getting thrown around. End of quotation. Another writer reported that a connection to the wider spelled success for an aspiring bodybuilder, but for a price. Quote, from that point on, the bodybuilder's career is owned by the wider corporation. And here we have the Arnold Schwarzenegger connection. You know, burly, multi-muscled, gargantuanly muscled bodybuilding type who became a politician and head of California. The Arnold Schwarzenegger connection. It was the Whiters who discovered future movie star California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger and brought him to America. They got the aspiring bodybuilder an apartment, bought him a car, and crafted him into a celebrity, tutoring him on everything from his exercise regimen and real estate investments to how to weave his hair. I'm sorry. His exercise regimen and real estate investments to how to wear his hair. Thought that was kind of strange. Didn't think hair loss was one of Arnold's problems. Anyway, continuing. Joe Whiter told the New York Times, "We created Arnold." The Whiters supported Schwarzenegger for California governor and remain close to him. Schwarzenegger declared July 9, 2007, Joe Whiter Day. As we will see, there is a further connection, but first we need to examine another aspect of the Whiter business machine. The Whiter empire has also long included an array of magazines mostly focused on bodybuilding and fitness. A few in past years seem to have crossed the line into lewdness, and Joe Whiter was twice indicted for producing and distributing obscene literature. He was indicted for it anyway. In 1957, he was placed on a 5-year probation. In 2003, the Whiters sold this line of publications, the more obscene ones had been abandoned, to American Media, which also publishes the National Enquirer and Star tabloids, for $350 million, the sale was. $350 million. This was less than a clean break, however, as the businesses seemed to have arranged a mutually beneficial association, some of it apparently touching on Arnold Schwarzenegger. Joe Whiter remained in charge of the magazines under American Media, while American Media director David Pecker signed a contract to co-sponsor major bodybuilding contests with the Whiters. With this new Whiter-Pecker alliance came a change in how American Media's tabloids covered Schwarzenegger, who was then running for California governor and whose previous steroid use, sexual affairs, one allegedly with a minor, how many of you out there knew that? Bullying, groping incidents, etc., were the kind of fodder that often fuels tabloids. According to an article in the San Jose Mercury News, San Jose, California, tabloids starry-eyed for Schwarzenegger by Dion Nissenbaum. Pecker promised Whiter that his tabloids would, quote, lay off Schwarzenegger and not dig up any dirt on the gubernatorial candidate. In fact, following its deal with Whiter, American Media now seemed to be promoting Schwarzenegger. The Mercury News reported that American Media produced a 120-page glossy magazine called Arnold, the American Dream, crammed with flattering photographs that auspiciously hit the streets just as Schwarzenegger headed into the final lap of his campaign for governor. The next year, after Schwarzenegger became governor, Pecker made him executive editor of Flex and Muscle and Fitness. That's two magazines. Flex and the second one, Muscle and Fitness, promising him an estimated $8 million over the next 5 years for helping to, quote, further the business objectives, end quote, of the company according to the Los Angeles Times. If anyone wondered how a sitting governor of one of the nation's largest states would have time for such a position, Advertising Age reported that this was, quote, a largely honorary position. And according to a Schwarzenegger aide, quote, would only take up a nominal amount of the governor's time, end quote. The following year, Governor Schwarzenegger vetoed legislation that would have cracked down on the use of supplements by student athletes. A number of these supplements have been tied to serious health consequences. The medical community has warned that potential health effects, including liver cancer, heart disease, impaired testicular function, and neurodegenerative effects. Following Schwarzenegger's veto, critics accused him of a conflict of interest, since supplements constituted a large portion of the advertising in the magazines that were paying him so generously for his work. Advertising Age also made a point of noting that Schwarzenegger's veto of legislation that would have regulated supplements, quote, highlighted Mr. Schwarzenegger's decades-long relationship with Joe Weider, the godfather of the supplement business, end quote. While Schwarzenegger was governor and since, he has also worked to promote Israel. In a speech at an event at the Israeli consulate, Schwarzenegger proclaimed, "I love Israel. When I became governor, Israel was the first country that I visited. I've had the pleasure of being there many times," Schwarzenegger said, "and have seen it from a bodybuilding point of view, from a tourist point of view, from an entertainer's point of view, from the governor's point of view, forming trade relationships with Israel in order. I have been a longtime friend of Israel." In 5 minutes, I'll see how much of the rest of it, this article by Allison Weir, I can get through. It's very long, obviously. Next section, Weider Foundations. The Weider Empire is not limited to the United States. The Weiders have promoted bodybuilding and Weider products worldwide. There are now IFBB groups in 182 countries, and there are photos of Weider with diverse government officials, including Ronald Reagan, Yasser Arafat, and Menachem Begin. Multimillionaires often set up tax-deductible foundations, and the Weiders have created several. The Ben Weider Foundation has donated gyms around the world. That's gyms, G-Y-M-S, as part of their bodybuilding outreach, including in Israel and Palestine. Ben endowed what is now known as the Ben Weider Jewish Community Center in Montreal and also supported two Lubavitch institutions, a charismatic and sometimes controversial branch of Orthodox Judaism. He was an admirer of Lubavitch. Lubavitch head Rabbi Menachem Schneerson, a religious leader who was a major force in Israel. Israeli leaders, including Menachem Begin, Yitzhak Rabin, and Benjamin Netanyahu, all former or current prime ministers of Israel, would often visit him when they were in the U.S. and seek his advice. A widely revered but controversial leader, Schneerson was held by some followers to be the Messiah. Period. Less widely known is the fact that he made statements that Jews are a different and superior species to non-Jews. I'll read that paragraph again for you. A widely revered but controversial leader, this Rabbi Menachem Schneerson, was held by some followers to be the Messiah. Less widely known is the fact that he made statements that Jews are a different and superior species to non-Jews. Continuing here, there is also a Joe Weider Foundation. Joe Weider is CEO and Eric Weider has been chief financial officer and is currently president. of the Joe Weider Foundation. This has given several large grants to a Los Angeles-based organization called American Friends of Aish HaTorah. Aish HaTorah is an Israeli organization that opposes Jewish assimilation and promotes Israel in the United States. It has been connected to the production of pseudo-documentaries promoting Islamophobia that were distributed in the U.S. Journalist Jeffrey Goldberg, a strong Israel proponent himself, calls Aish, quote, just about the most fundamentalist movement in Judaism today. It operates, its operatives flourish in the radical belt of Jewish settlements just south of Nablus in the northern West Bank, and their outposts across the world propagandize on behalf of a particularly sterile, sexist, and revanchist brand of Judaism. The word here is revanchist. I haven't come across that word before. They may mean revisionist, perhaps. The word revanchist means revisionist. At any rate, continuing. Among its multitude of activities, ICE is a program to create and equip advocates for Israel on American campuses. These Hasbara Fellows, as they're termed, operate on over 120 campuses. Joe Weider is one of six North American chairmen of the Jewish Fund of Aish HaTorah. This focuses on bringing political leaders, corporate executives, investors, and entertainment personages on private trips to Israel to increase their support for Israel. We are about halfway through the article. The rest of it, of course, will have to wait until next Monday. I am considering, and have been for a while, thinking about expanding this program to 2 hours, perhaps having a live, you know, an hour or 55 minutes of my live weekly program followed either immediately or after a time by the second live hour. How sad it is when I come to these end of the 55-minute periods and have to stop, but I promise I will return to the second half of this article next week, next Monday. Okay. Still a great mystery as to who called the studio last week. Have an idea, a possible idea of who may have, because I have some idea of the size of the show's audience, indeed of this radio station's audience. But don't know. And I do think that what happened was the person hung up after three rings last week. At any rate, this is Ren Tawil. This is Mideast Madness. See you next week at 4 p.m., 1600 hours, on Monday. That'll be Christmas Eve. I'll be here for your pleasure and or agitation. Thank you and so long.
Welcome to Palestine Today, a service of the International Middle East Media Center, www.imemc.org, for Monday, December 17, 2012. Israeli troops invade West Bank communities and arrest civilians, and soldiers open fire at Gaza farmers and journalists. These stories and more coming up. Stay tuned. Israeli soldiers invaded on Monday at dawn Beit Rima village near the central West Bank city of Ramallah and kidnapped four residents, including three brothers and